Well, we're continuing on in our study of 2 Corinthians, and the title of this sermon series is We Live by Faith and Not by Sight. Now, in our passage this morning, we're going to see that Paul presents a powerful message about the work of Christ in the lives of believers. So if you have your Bible with you or you have your handout, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 16 through 21. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, so let's go back to verse 16. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Now, notice that Paul starts off with the words, from now on, then. Now, some of the other translations use the word, therefore. So he's pointing back to what he previously said and is saying because of that, we now look at things differently. So let's go back to verse 15 to see what Paul said previously. And he actually talks about two things in this previous verse. He says, and he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So first we see that he talks about Christ's death and resurrection for our salvation. But then second, we also see that Paul talks about our new life in Christ, living for him. And because of those things, Paul looks at others and Jesus from a different perspective. Now, talking about our passage this morning, one of the Bible commentators says, Paul now illustrates how this determination to no longer live for self but for Christ finds practical expression. Folks, it's also true that living for Jesus instead of ourselves changes our paradigm. How we view things. What is important is different. When we're living for Jesus, we see other people and we see Jesus differently. Even as believers, when we live for ourselves, we will tend to have a skewed view of others and of Jesus. We'll view what is important differently. Now, I don't want to belabor this point, but we need to understand that our salvation is not only about our future home in heaven, it's about also our new life in Christ right now. Jesus didn't die for us just so that we would have a bus ticket to heaven. As we see here clearly in verse 15, it is also because we should stop living for ourselves and start living for Jesus. I'm going to end with just this. Living for Jesus instead of living for ourselves will radically improve our relationship with others. It will improve our health physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it will give us more peace and joy. So, can I encourage all of us to ask this question? Who am I living for? Okay, back to verse 16. And we see he goes on to say, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Now, the Amplified Bible puts it this way. We regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. Okay, so what are some of those worldly standards and values? Well, the Message says this. We don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. And it reminds me of what God says to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees what? Yeah, the heart, exactly. You know, can't we all get caught up in evaluating others by what they have or how they look? When we do this, we use the wrong scale, and we'll end up handling things the wrong way. It will limit severely our spiritual impact on them. You know, we can easily end up encouraging them in the wrong way. And it can also cause us not to be willing to admonish them when that's what's best for them. We can easily become a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. But when we look at others from a spiritual perspective, from what's going on in their hearts, we can be fruitful in their lives and please God. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 16, even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. And the Living Bible puts it this way. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely a human being like myself, how differently I feel now. See, the unsaved see Jesus only as a man, where Paul and believers see Jesus as the God-man, fully God, fully man. Next, we see in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So we see that Paul begins by talking about those who are in Christ. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, being in Christ does include at least four things. Being in Christ is a oneness with Christ. It's a union with Christ. It's communion with Christ, and it's being in covenant with Christ. But we also see that when we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior, when we become in Christ, we become a new creation. The Amplified Bible puts this new creation this way. He is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And some of the other translations puts it this way. We become new persons. We become a new person altogether. We become a brand new person inside. One Bible commentator describes a Christian as a new creation this way. He says, this new creation is a creation of God's redemptive work. He's a new creation with a new director. He's a new creation with a new determination. He's a new creation with a new demeanor, with new delights, with new desires, and a new destiny. Then this commentator goes on to say, if our life is not different since we professed Christ as our Savior, we need to examine our life in the light of God's Word. Then next we see that the old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Okay. So is this transition immediately and perfect? Absolutely not. I think we all know that. For although we are free of the penalty of sin and no longer are constrained to obey sin, we still live in these corruptible bodies that still have the sin virus, and therefore we will commit sins. And that's why theologians call this progressive sanctification. It's a growth process. Now, does this also mean that we'll never have a resurgence of those old prejudices, old habits, or hang-ups? Of course not. Not as long as we're still breathing. But what it does mean is that now our life, the direction of our conduct, the bent of our behavior is Godward, is heavenward, and is toward God glorifying. The folks, the difference is that before, when we were in Adam, we continually, willingly chased after sin. But now that we're in Christ, we have a new power, a new desire through the Holy Spirit to resist the pull of sin. Next we see in verse 18. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the rest of our passage this morning is to be seen in light of the beginning of this verse. So keep that in mind. Everything is from God. And as we see in this verse, there are actually two things that Paul focuses on, again, for the rest of this passage, and that is, everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, one, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, two. Now, before we talk about those two things, I'd like for us to look at the first phrase more closely, and that is that everything is from God. You know, this is so easy to forget. We take so much for granted. Folks, your next breath is from God. Everything is from him. Paul says this in Romans 11:36. For what? Yes, from him and what? Through him and to him are what? All things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Folks, the more we live our lives in realization of this fact, the more grateful we'll be. The more joy we will have. The more peace we will have. The more wisdom we will have. And the more endurance we will have. Folks, remembering that everything is from God is a game changer in our lives. Okay, now let's look at the two things that Paul specifically mentions. So the first is that God, it's God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Okay, so what does it mean to be reconciled to God? Well, first we need to understand that we're alienated from Him because of our sins. And the Bible says we're actually His enemies. Because of this, we deserve His wrath. And it is coming. Okay, so given this, how does God reconcile us to Himself? Well, first we see here that it's through Christ. Our reconciliation with God comes only through Christ, what Jesus Christ did for us. We can have no reconciliation with God through what we do, through our good deeds, our trying to live a good and moral life. It's only by putting our faith in Jesus as our Savior from our sins. Second, so what did Christ do to save us? We actually see this in the last verse of our passage, in verse 21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ, who was sinless, took our sin on Himself as He was on the cross and died, paying the penalty for all our sins. Because of this, we have been forgiven of all of our sins. But that isn't all. But because of what Jesus did, we have also been given His righteousness. What this means is that God does not see our sin, but instead He sees Jesus' righteousness. Theologians call this double imputation. Jesus takes our sin and we receive His righteousness. Then in verse 19, we see, not counting their trespasses against them. Because of what Jesus did, God does not count our trespasses against us. His wrath is turned away from us, and we're reconciled to Him. So we saw that first, it was God who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. But then the second thing is that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We actually see this twice, both in verse 18 and verse 19. In verse 18, we see that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then you go back down to the next verse, verse 19, you can see He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. So if you don't get it the first time, hopefully you'll get it the second time. I'd like to wrap up this morning by looking at two things as it relates to this ministry of reconciliation that we've been given. First, we're going to look at what this ministry is all about. And then second, we're going to look at how we should view ourselves as ministers. So first, we see what this ministry is in verse 19. And it's telling people that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And of course, the verse that probably all of us probably could even quote, John 3:16 puts it this way, "For God loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Our ministry is to share with people that because of God's love for us, He reconciles us with Himself through faith in Jesus. But then second, we see how we should view ourselves as we minister in verse 20. Therefore, we are what? Yeah, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since Christ is making His appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So again, we see here that we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, the basic idea of this word ambassadors in the Greek means to function as a representative of a ruling authority. Let me say that again. It's to function as a representative of a ruling authority. One Bible commentator gives us four things about an ambassador that also relate directly to our lives. He says, an ambassador does not speak to please his audience, but the king who sent him. An ambassador does not speak on his own authority. His own opinions or demands mean little. An ambassador simply says what he's been commissioned to say. And last, an ambassador is more than just a messenger. He is also a representative. And the honor and reputation of his country and his king are in his hands. Folks, as followers of Jesus and his ambassadors, this is what our lives are to be all about. So this week, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to doctor's appointments, barber appointments, stylist appointments, as you go to the grocery store, as you send texts, emails, talk on the phone, remember, you are Christ's ambassadors. In closing this morning, I'd like to ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes as we reflect on our time together. This morning we talked about salvation through faith in Jesus as your Savior. This salvation brings forgiveness of sins, a relationship with God, and empowers believers to live transformed lives through the indwelling Holy Spirit, and gives us an eternal home in heaven. Have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins, and you see your need for Jesus as your Savior from your sins? If this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Maybe you've just been living for yourself instead of living for Jesus. Maybe you've not seen yourself as an ambassador for God. Folks, whatever's going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Holy Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.